Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
In 1927, T.S. Eliot, at that time in his late 30s, converted to Anglicanism. Shortly after this intriguing move, he penned a poem just for today. It's called The Journey of the Magi. Like most of his writing, it's home to a kind of haunting ambiance. In the work, he humanizes the wise men from the East by having them recollect the journey to the Christ child, a trip to see the light of the world. You almost feel invited onto a spectacular front porch, being made privy to an extraordinary tale. This is one of the Magi talking about his journey. What a privileged invitation to be a part of the audience. The Magi perhaps lifting a cup of tea to his beard-covered lips, putting his rocking chair to a halt, sets the stage in a tone of vivid memory. He remarks that the journey took place in just the worst time of the year, the very dead of winter. And it wasn't just the weather or time of the year that made the trip so difficult. It was the men who were supposed to watch the camels who chased after booze and women during the night, and the high rates for a place to sleep in the villages. Not to mention that the cities were hostile and the towns simply unfriendly. He lets us know that this was a hard time. And so many of the things they encountered made them wonder if their trip was simply folly. The difficulty and the hostility just made the man from the East wonder, why have I left the comforts of home? He reminisces of a warm summer day back home, palaces on beautiful landscapes with silken girls bringing a fizzy drink. This kind of juxtaposition, hostile towns and fizzy drinks, will make a wise man wonder, is this journey foolish? At last, despite the treacherous path, they find the place. They arrive to witness the Christ child themselves. And in what one literary critic calls Eliot's masterpiece of understatement, the wise man recounts that the place was, quote, you may say, satisfactory. I have to mention at this point that you really should take advantage of the digital archive we have of Eliot reading his own poetry. As you probably know, we post our sermons on the Holy Innocents website, both in text and audio, and I'll be sure that the URL link is in my text so you can dabble in this really fun enterprise. Hearing Eliot say these words of understatement is simply delightful, even if it is haunting. So picture again this wise man on a porch, and when the story climaxes with the arrival to the destination, after all the details of the struggle, he looks up in a pause only to say it was, you may say, satisfactory. Somehow the tenor of this statement captures the sheer profundity of it all. Think of the times the wise women and men in your life disclose something of such significance that they could only resort to understatement to get at the levity of it all. It's only at the very end of the poem that we learn that this wise man is years removed from the trip. If he was wise back then, what is he now? An old man on the porch recounting the story, what does he know now? He hints at the colossal difference this trip made on his life. He might be old, but he says with conviction, he'd do it all again. Nevertheless, he's left with this haunting paradox. This is how he says it to his listeners. But set down, this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? He's not confused about what took place. Of course a child was born, and this Magi has seen birth and death. But before, he thought they were different. This episode leaves him not so sure. For him, and for those who made the journey with him, this birth was something like a death for them. Nothing could remain the same after bumping into this birth. We do not really know what happened at the sight of Jesus, but we do have the wise man saying that they all returned home, back to their various kingdoms. But nothing is the same. They're not even comfortable back home. Now, this is classical Eliot, and it has a lot to teach us. He always wanted to steer clear of an overly cheery version of Christianity that answered every question that everyone has. Instead, Christianity for him was about a deep transformation from within. As one commentator puts it, an inner shift so deep that you could hardly notice it. Yet it gives a new perspective on everything and a new restlessness in a chilly and tired world. This was the poem for me this Christmas. A Christmas so flooded with joy as my first child celebrated his first. And such pain as we all mourned the devastation and chaos of the tragedy in Newtown and so many more. This poem resonates as deeply true because it does not purport to answer all of our questions. As a wise and faithful priest recently wrote in an opinion piece in the New York Times, I will never satisfactorily answer the question, why, as it pertains to suffering. Because no matter what response I give, it will always fall short. What I do know is that an unconditionally loving presence soothes broken hearts, binds up wounds, and renews us in life. This is a gift that we can all give, particularly to the suffering. When this gift is given, God's love is present and Christmas happens daily. I suspect that's what happened to the wise man at the birth of Jesus. All the years following, he could not answer all the questions, but his heart panted after a different kind of world, a different kind of way of life that was seen. When a love that binds up wounds became incarnate. Christmas happened every day for the rest of the Magi's life. He witnessed mercy take on flesh, and business simply could not proceed as usual. The old kingdoms could not just slug along as before. So this feast of the Epiphany, this disclosure of Jesus in our midst, is about mercy coming to renew our lives, not answering all the questions, but shifting the way we see everything. So like the Magi, we might put to death what needs to be put to death so that this birth can prompt a new birth, a new inner shift in us. Friends, mercy has taken on flesh, and Christmas happens every time we put on mercy. A birth happens, certainly. We can recount it with the wise man. But what a staggering and mysterious birth it is. What an invitation. Questions will persist, but nothing can ever be seen the same. What a gift to receive. Amen.